You're listening to Rambling Business, the only multimedia podcast with Rick and Brandon,
where we get into your business no matter where it is.
And today we'll be talking about stepping back 100 years for a great steak. We finish our San Juan Capistrano business series by getting on board at a converted train station and rail cars at the Vintage Steakhouse. And that's a lot of fun.
Been there twice. I'm going back.
He's a return customer. Mm-hmm. Rick and Judy.
Kind of like a train on a schedule.
Yeah.
A return
kind
customer.
Kind of like a train on a circular
that's
track.
That's right. Like Lionel train set.
One of those kiddies, kid, you know, where
right,
you ride
right,
them.
Right.
Rick and Judy met with Heather Tran of the Vintage Steakhouse and learned how she and her husband, Chris, stepped into history to carry on a tradition. Also, stay tuned for our tax tales and business takeaways coming up.
A year ago, Heather Tran and her husband, Chris DeWin, purchased the iconic Vintage Steakhouse in San Juan Capistrano, California. Now, they're not these people that we've met from time to time that say, you know, I've always wanted to go into the restaurant business.
No, no.
Yeah, not knowing what it's like.
Those are like the kind of people who say, I want to move into a house with a lot of projects to do. I've never done any projects before, but...
But they're different. Heather and Chris are different because they had extensive experience as business people and entrepreneurs in restaurants in New Orleans.
Yeah, and which is a pretty difficult city to do it in.
Yeah, we've been there. We've eaten a lot of restaurants when we were in New Orleans and even outside of New Orleans.
It's a foodie city.
It is. It is. And a lot of choices. But they made it and they were good at it. And they also learned, she learned from her family, how to serve within a banquet facility, which is a totally different type of thing. Have you ever done that when you were in a restaurant?
Well, I've done weddings and whatever. Yeah. And the kitchen, the way the kitchen's laid out and everything is done is way different. I mean, regularly you're getting, you know, maybe 10 covers at once, mm-hmm. maybe on a table. This you're like, okay, we have 200 people all coming out at the same time.
Yeah, right. Run out there.
Right. Got to keep it warm.
Now, in case you haven't been to San Juan Capistrano, I really do recommend that you head out there. The restaurant is located in the Capistrano Depot, built in 1894 by the world famous San Juan Capistrano Mission. Now, you went there for school, right? Mm-hmm. The Mission?
I think actually we went to Santa Barbara.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we went up rather than...
All right. I guess Devin and Austin went to San Juan Capistrano on train. You went on train?
We went on Amtrak as well.
Oh, yeah. Did you? Oh, okay. Amtrak?
Amtrak?
Amtrak.
No, it's the German alternative. It has an umlaut over the top.
It's just in sauerkraut.
Yeah.
So the building was converted from a train depot into a restaurant and bar about 10 years ago by the previous owner. The ambiance is absolutely amazing. I mean, there are many tables that are set up in a real 1927 fully restored Pullman railroad car.
Like a dining car?
That's exactly,
yes.
Yeah. But you know what? I was sitting there with your mom, and we're sitting there eating, and I look above my head, and I see like this turnkey thing. And you know, like a lock?
Mm-hmm.
And mom says, well, that's for luggage? I said, no, that's the bed.
What do you mean?
The bed drops
down.
The
sleeping.
Yeah,
oh.
It drops down. And I said, no, that's a bed. I'm looking at the lock. That's not a luggage container. I'm looking at, you know, there's several ones all the way down the length. Mm-hmm. These are beds.
And, so it probably wasn't a dining car then.
Yeah, right. It was a converted Pullman car.
Into a dining car.
Right, right. Yeah, and I don't even know, maybe they had those in dining cars too, places to sleep, I don't know. But and that's what I thought it was. That's what it looked like to
maybe
me.
Maybe for the chefs.
What I'll do is I'll go back and I'll ask them, you know, if I was right. And or they may call me up after this and say, oh, you're wrong. That was really...
You're wrong. That's the drink storage.
Helicopter.
The glass storage.
So they also had this 1887 Freight House Bar. Now, I was in it last night, actually. I walked in there. And you'll see some pictures online of like the wall, and it looked like Adobe type stuff. I mean, it's really old, really old, really cool.
Original Adobe.
Now, they use a true mesquite open fire charbroil, and their banquet room can be divided into two different sections. So you've seen those where you could have like a removable wall.
Yeah, the sliding walls.
Yeah. And well, they use the banquet room as a venue for live performances.
Oh, that's great.
And so what happens is that the restaurant customizes a menu for the performance, and the band sells their tickets. And then they can sell the tickets for whatever they want, but they have all this food and alcohol and things like that on a set price, you know, so the band knows what they're paying for. So, you know, we've seen that with other places that, you know, bands do that in downtown LA, but this is the only one they've ever seen from a small local venue in a town that's not in the middle of Los Angeles somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, you see a lot of, like, hotels and, like, convention centers have things like that.
Yeah.
Not a lot of small bars.
So it was really neat. So the current chefs are the prior owner and Chris. So the prior owner is still there as chef.
Oh.
As a continuation. They just bought it a year ago. So well, it's a continuation of the menu.
That's one way to you know, keep the same quality and
right.
food stuff that people are already coming for.
Now, the great thing is that they're actually going to be adding to their menu. Chris, coming from Louisiana, mm-hmm. is going to be adding Creole food.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's been his specialty and other things. So we're really looking forward to that coming out.
Like a new gumbo.
Yes. And so they have great specials. Now, we went there on a Groupon. And we didn't go there. We did our Costa Mesa, or I'm sorry, San Juan Capistrano series. And I had already done two companies. And I wasn't thinking about doing a third one. But then I walked in this place and said, this is really unique. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is such a cool place to go. And we went again last night with your Uncle Mike and Aunt Mary and Oliver was with us. They just loved it. They just thought it was so great. Because while you're in that car, mm-hmm. they're playing jazz. old jazz in the car. Like you're in the 1940s.
Yeah.
You know? When we were there right before Christmas, they were playing all vintage Christmas music. The 1930s, 1940s, oh, all that throughout that
Christmas so, big band.
Yeah, so it was really great, and so we really had a great time, and so they had a Groupon. But then what Heather told me is she said, "Well, you know, we have these specials that are better than Groupon."
Hmm.
Yeah, she said our specials provide great food at reasonable prices, and that's what we ordered off of last night. We didn't have a Groupon last night.
You just skipped it entirely.
It was dinner for two, and it's different, and it's, you know, there's a price, and you get great steaks and different things like that. So, it was really a great place, and if you want a great experience and great food, that's a great place to go.
And I mean, you know, it's a great place when it convinces Lazy Writer over here to write a whole nother episode.
Yeah, right.
When he wasn't planning to.
Right.
And if you want to learn a little more about the Vintage Steakhouse, check them out at thevintagesteakhouse.com. You're listening to Rambling Business. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Rick E. Norris and Accountancy Corporation. If you'd like to get the full experience, check out our website for videos, music, pictures, takeaways, and travel tips. www.ramblingbusiness.com. Now it's time for our tax tales, where we tell you about strange and unusual taxes from the past and the present.
Tax tales.
And since we're talking about a lovely steakhouse, we thought we'd talk about the taxes on food, which consistently are so weird.
I know.
They're just vary so much depending on where you're at.
Because they never worked in a restaurant, these politicians.
Mm-hmm, yeah. They don't know what goes into making all the same things.
Right.
So, interestingly, in California, cold food items, you know, like prepared sandwiches,
uh-huh.
And individual hot drinks, a coffee to go or a tea, are generally exempt from sales tax when they're sold in a store. Also exempt are candy, chips, cookies, fresh fruits and vegetables, fruit and vegetable juices, and granola bars. So basically, snacks.
Right.
Snacks are free in California. Guess we're a big snacking culture.
Yep.
And when these items are sold from a vending machine, however, the same items that are free in a store, they're subject to sales tax. Mm. Or rather, they're partially taxable. Tax applies to 33% of your gross receipts from vending machine sales of cold food and hot drinks.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
Hmm.
I guess maybe they're taxing a machine for doing a person's job?
Now, if I go and buy about $20 worth of things from a vending machine, mm-hmm. and I sell them then to people, resell them, because they came from a vending machine, do I have to pay another 33% tax?
I don't know. You're the accountant. You figure that one out. Now it's time for our travel tip, where we tell you what fun things you can do around the San Juan Capistrano area.
Casper Wilderness Park is an 8,000-acre protected wilderness preserve nestled among the river terraces and sandstone canyons of the western coast of the Santa Ana Mountains. Now, the park has many fertile valleys, and it really has neat groves such as coastal live oak and stands of sycamore.
Yeah, live oaks are the best trees.
You know,
they're like lazy lounging trees.
Right, yeah, right.
They don't ever get much off the ground.
You know, a lot of people around the world, and even in our country, never see them.
Yeah.
They're just not there.
Yeah, if you want, look them up. They're really cool. They kind of look like a giant wooden snake. Because they're always bending close to
the
ground.
Right, right, right. You grew up climbing those as a kid at Live Oak Park. At,
yeah, there's a little Live Oak Beach. Park around here.
Yeah. Now, these areas are further accentuated by seasonal wildflowers, which is really cool. If you haven't been to California, you know, we go from floods to fire to
earthquakes,
famine. I mean, I'm talking about the flowers, but flex flowers.
Oh, okay.
So, like, we would have a drought, and then all of a sudden we have this fire, and then all of a sudden we have this rain, and then we have these great wildflowers that come out of those areas.
Pop up out of there.
You know, so
yeah, I mean, if you're ever around here when it rains in Death Valley and see the 100-year bloom.
Oh, yeah.
But well, that happens all over California because there's little pockets of desert, you know?
Well, that you're talking about the Poppy Reserve over there. That's by Lancaster. And then you have another one that people go to. I haven't been there during the flower blooming, but Anza Borrego.
Mm-hmm.
You've been there?
No, I haven't been
there. That's by Salton Sea.
I've seen pictures. It's beautiful.
So desert flowers are really neat. And they're especially neat because if you sit in your car and look at them, they look pretty, but you really have to get out and walk them, like on this trails here at the Casper Wilderness Park, and look at them very closely, because some of them are only as big as your baby fingernail. Mm-hmm. And you look at the detail in them, and it's absolutely amazing. And so they have nature walk programs here, and you can ask questions. So I highly recommend it.
Now it's time for our takeaways, where we tell you what steps you can take to implement what we've been talking about on the podcast. And the first thing to think about is in retail or in service industries and restaurants, you have to try to optimize your space with different functions and scalable sizes. The Vintage Steakhouse has two rooms that they can combine into one big room or break up, depending on what the sort of dining situation looks like and if they're going to have a band. And so that you have to be adaptable because, especially in the restaurant industry, you know, sometimes you're going to need to serve a lot of people. Sometimes you're going to need to close an area off so you keep the lights off and people out of there.
And, you know, always remember, you have a storefront, that clock is always ticking because you're paying rent, even though there's no income coming in. Number two, think about reducing your risk in joint ventures. The Vintage Steakhouse will set up a venue and customize their menu for the musical performances. But they require the acts to be central in promoting themselves by selling tickets in addition to what the steakhouse would do to promote them.
So instead of hiring like a PR person who just books bands and having another person on the payroll, they're, you know, offloading some of that risk.
And, you know, this also can give the band an upside because they could charge whatever price they want. They can might even make whatever money they
get. Yeah. The third thing to think about is if you start a restaurant, you'll be working two jobs. You're going to be preparing food and serving food.
Yeah.
And you have to know what you're getting into before you start. Those are entirely different jobs. And the same is true for any small business. Yeah. You're thinking about the one thing that you're going to do, but you're always going to have to be in the service industry and be talking and interacting with people.
It is so hard. I mean, you know, working at our family's restaurant, it was a lot of work. You know, grandparents, you know, grandma, you know, us, your mom and I, you know, just preparing and serving, preparing and serving.
Yeah, I mean, you know. I watch a lot of cooking shows, and some of those chefs aren't very nice people, so they're not the people you want talking to your customers, right? So you have to be both when you're doing, like, a smaller business.
Number four, always look for ways to evolve and to stay ahead of the competition. So Heather and Chris are still holding true to the restaurant tradition, but they're adding their home style Creole food.
Yeah, And so, yeah, they are keeping the customers who liked them before for the atmosphere and the food, and then just adding a little more for new people to try.
And, you know, last night I kind of glanced when we were driving around. We were showing your Uncle Mike and Aunt Mary a little bit, the whole area in there, because it's a whole little nestled area. It's kind of neat. I don't remember seeing any other Creole food restaurants.
There's not. You don't see a lot on this coast.
It takes a lot of work to Creole.
Now it's time to answer a question from one of our listeners. Melanie asks about the new tax law, something that all of my friends have suddenly been very interested in the job I do.
Oh, really?
tax law passed.
You're now the expert, huh, your friends?
Well, I mean, you're the expert, but I just...
Fake it.
I listen to what you tell me.
You improv it.
I repeat it to them.
You improv the tax rules.
That's true.
Good. That's okay.
Don't take tax advice from me. Take it from
him. Don't tell the IRS.
Basically, the new tax law passed. What does it mean for me?
Well, I don't know what your tax situation is, but...
Now you're improving it.
Yeah, right. But here's a couple of things. One is, if you own a house, you're looking to buy a house, they have now limited the mortgage deduction to $750,000 instead of $1 million, which means that if you're buying an expensive house like in California, that may mean something. Mm-hmm. If you're buying a house in Minnesota in the country, probably doesn't mean anything. The other thing is that if you live in a state that has income taxes, like California and lots of other states.
Almost every state.
Yeah, New York. And then you are limited to $10,000 deduction on your state income taxes and your property taxes and your DMV taxes and any kind of taxes that were normally deductible before. Now you're only limited to $10,000. So if you're buying a $1 million home and in California your taxes would be $10,000, you just... basically blew it right there. That's all you get to deduct.
Yep. So if you live in a state that has higher state taxes,
or any state taxes.
Any state taxes at all, which is right, is that that's not the exception to the rule. Most states have that. There are a few states who don't have income taxes.
Right. Yeah, there's like states like Nevada doesn't have state income tax, and I think Florida doesn't have a state income tax.
A couple of the states.
And Texas, I don't think, has one. But most of them have tax. Tennessee does not have it. I know that for sure because I have clients there. What they do have instead is they have like VAT taxes or general sales taxes, which also would be limited too, the state taxes.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. On the good side is that if you don't itemize, then you're going to get a higher standard deduction and probably a lower tax rate, slightly lower tax rate, which will help you save taxes. If you do itemize and you are an employee and you spend a lot of money as an employee, like dining and traveling, if you're an actor or an actress, you have commissions on your agent commissions, those will not be deductible anymore in 2018.
So it's going to be hard on
salespeople. Right. Like I talked to your Uncle Bruce about that, who's in sales. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, he's retiring this year.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter.
He lucked out.
But that was a giant deduction for him. And the clients that we have that are artists and actors, big deductions for that because they're constantly trying to hone their craft as they're doing movies.
The thing I noticed most about this tax bill, at least how it affected me, is that I'm on insurance that isn't from my employer. And so I'm using California's exchange, and because of the mandate repeal, basically individual mandate, not everyone's required to have it, it's going to drive up the prices for medical insurance because there's going to be less people. People are going to drop out of the exchange. So if you have, and that also probably will affect private exchanges as well, because
and probably Medicare too. I mean, they're all linked some way, one way or the other.
So for medical. In some cases, your taxes will go down with a bigger standard deduction, but look for other costs in housing and whatever to go up. That's all we have for this week. Tune in next week when we're going to bring you stories of small businesses around the USA, like we always do. But till then, I'm Brandon.
And this is Rick, and thank you for letting us get into your business no matter where it is. Our music and podcast was produced by my son, Devin S. Norris. For all your music, composition, and podcast needs, check out devinsnorris.com.